Morning.
Today's Bible reading will be from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And it reads, "Now faith is confidence in what we have, in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commanded for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was not made by." Sorry, let me read that again. "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous. When God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. But before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him."
Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good
morning. We're so thankful to God for his grace and his mercy, which has blessed us to see a new day, a day that we've never seen before, a day of new opportunities. And has become, I pray that it's with the express purpose to not only to hear a word from the Lord, but also to understand more perfectly his will for us even today. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and meet me at verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 6 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." Verse 4 says, "By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Verse 6 says, "By faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." It is from these verses that we extract the title for this morning's message. It's all about faith. It's all about faith. Each of us have come today with different fears and concerns, and we are being tested every single day. We have financial concerns, spiritual concerns, emotional concerns, sometimes concerns about concerns, but it's all about faith. And so this morning I want to talk to you about faith, because one of the things we recognize in life that we may hear a word, but we may not understand what the word means. And so the word of God has a message for us, and I've come this morning to encourage you to recognize that it's all about faith. So first of all, what is faith? Hebrews 11:1, we just read, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, according to the New King James Version. The easy to read version says, faith is what makes real the things we hope for. It is proof of what we cannot see. In this container, a container of Pringles, you can't see what's in this container. But this container may have Pringles in it. This container of Pringles may have 2 10-pound notes. Or this container of Pringles may indeed be empty. Faith believes in what it cannot see. And I suggest that perhaps if I said that you can guess what's in this can of Pringles, you can, and guess correctly, you can have this can of Pringles. So faith, this is an example of faith. You can't see what's in the container, but you hope that there's something in this can of Pringles. It is what makes real the things we hope for. It is proof of what we cannot see. Daniel, faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without this faith, it is impossible. And these italics suggest that these words are not in the original language, in the original Greek. But without faith, impossible to please, for he that comes to God must trust and believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. All of us exercise faith on a daily basis. Did you know that? Do you know you exercise faith on a daily basis? Let me give an example. Kids in here, you like going to McDonald's. You say, Mom and Dad, can you take me to McDonald's? And they get into the car by faith. Turn the key to the ignition by faith. You can't see the engine. You don't see the gas in the car. You haven't checked the brakes. But you turn that key on by faith. And when the engine starts, evidence. And then you get to McDonald's. And you go to the counter. And you pull that debit card out by faith. Amen. And you say, I hope that the transaction goes through by faith. It gets approved. You place your order by faith, and then they put all the chicken nuggets, 6 nuggets, in a container that you can't see. Do you open up the package? You make sure there's 6 nuggets in there. And then they put all that stuff in the bag by faith, and you take it home by faith and hope they've gotten your order correct. And you gobble it all down by faith because you hope it's not going to make you sick. Amen. Because you didn't see the girl back there, the boy back there that made your meal. You did all that by faith. Huh? And the substance is you're eating it, chicken nuggets, or small fries. Amen. Sweet and sour sauce, are you getting hungry? You did all that by faith. And so faith itself has 4 parts. We don't have time this morning because we'll be here for hours. Faith has 4 parts. There's knowledge. Faith is knowledge. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, one Lord, one faith. This faith, this knowledge is the thing believed. It is doctrine. You hear people say, what is your faith? Huh? It also includes belief, confidence, and obedience. Amen. So today we're going to talk about this faith. Yet, did you know that one can believe and still be lost? You can believe and still be lost. How do we know that? The Bible says, you believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Amen. I might believe that I'm a chicken. That doesn't make me a chicken. I may believe that God is good,
I may believe that God can send me to hell, but guess what? If I don't do anything with it, it's not going to profit me anything. And so this faith that we exercise on a daily basis, we want to know what this faith is. Because somebody today is struggling in their faith. Perhaps you're going through something right now and you're questioning, is it worth it? Is this Christian journey worth the struggle? Is life worth the struggle? And so, somebody want to know, well, how do I develop faith? How do you get this faith? Can you Google faith? Can you order faith? You know what? I'm going to order a box of faith. No, you can't get it on the internet. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing. Hearing by what? The word of God. And so first, you've got to hear a word from God. If you want more faith, you've got to get more of this book. Amen. You can't push it up under your pillow at night and think that I just, you know, the word faith is just going to come into my mind. No, no. You've got to, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And notice, in Hebrews chapter 11, if we read already, it says in verse number, we'll keep reading, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8, watch this now, by faith, Abraham, underline in your Bible, obeyed. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and guess what he did? And he went out, not knowing where he was going. First, he heard a word from God, and that built his faith. I want to suggest to you that faith sometimes doesn't make sense. Faith doesn't always make sense. Amen. And guess what? You don't have to understand it in order to develop it. You don't have to understand it in order to develop it. Somebody said that faith is developed in the dark. Back in the day, I'm not that old, but back in the day, before digital cameras, before mobile phones, you had to go down to the store and get you a Kodak camera. You remember those days? Amen. A 35 millimeter camera, and then you had to get yourself some film. Huh? And it came in that little black round canister. And you put that film in that camera, and you had to, and back, way back, you had to buy a flash too. And the flash, you would snap it on the top of the camera, and every time you took a film, it would explode. Amen. Yeah. And then you took your pictures. How do you do that? You did it by faith, because sometimes the hand was cut off, it was crooked, you might have had the lens cap still on. Amen. No battery in the camera. And then you took all that film and you took it down to the store and you gave it to somebody and he said, well, come back in 3 days and get your pictures. And when you get those pictures, listen, you had to pay for all the pictures, even the ones you didn't want. Hey, man, you remember, you got some pictures home like that. Why is everybody crooked? This is blurred. A finger is over the lens. Don't you know, church, in order to develop that film, whoever the developer had to take all that into what they call a dark room and develop that film. And that's how our faith is sometimes, to develop in the dark. We don't understand it. We can see it, but we're confident that something good is going to happen eventually. And so that's like our faith. And so let's keep reading. Keep reading. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 9 says, listen, but by faith he dwelt in the land of promise and as a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, their heirs with them of the same promise. For he waited for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He said, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive. See, Sarah was over 90 years old. And God promised that she's going to have a child. Can you imagine a 90-year-old woman having a? Is that your granddaughter? No, that's my baby. Did you say,
no.
You're going to say no. Huh? She bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him, watch this now, faithful who had promised. Amen. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, was born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable and succinct, which is by the seashore. Then it says, listen. He says in verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered Isaac. You remember the story of the Old Testament? God told Abraham, you go take your son Isaac up on the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice. And if you read that story over in the book of Genesis, Abraham told his wife, Mrs. Abraham, the lad and I are going to offer a sacrifice. They said, we will come back. And then he took that boy up on that mountain, put him up on the altar. And the boy said to Abraham, Father, I see the sticks. I see the altar, but where is the sacrifice? You're the sacrifice. And Abraham was ready to do the deed. And the Lord stopped him. And Abraham looked, and what did Abraham see? A ram in the bush. God will provide. But guess what? First, he had to exercise his faith. What about us? What is God asking us to do? What is God asking you to do today? He said in verse 18, of whom was said, Isaac, your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bones. And so I want you to also understand that faith has an object. Faith has an object. And that object is Jesus Christ and him alone. The problem is, in this life, sometimes we put faith in people. Sometimes we put faith in things. Sometimes we put our faith in ourselves. And our faith should always be in the person of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Bible begins, therefore. Therefore connects Hebrews chapter 11 to Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. What is that weight and sin that so easily ensnares us? It's a lack of faith. It's a lack of faith. In order to run this Christian race, you've got to pull off some weight. You've got to get rid of some baggage. In order to be an Olympic athlete, an Olympic sprinter, you have to make yourself as light as possible. You never see an Olympian running with a backpack in the Olympics. Huh? Usain Bolt. No, you see him. Listen, that's what we need to do as well. In order to run in this Christian way, we need to lay aside our lack of faith. And he says, watch this now. He says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And verse number 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why looking unto Jesus? Because faith has an object. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Don't look at me. Look at Jesus. This word look is from the Greek word. We get the English word autopsy. What is an autopsy? An autopsy is a visual inspection of the body. So what he's saying is autopsy Jesus' walk of faith. What was it about Jesus that we can learn that kept him committed and do the same thing yourself? Don't look at me, Don't look at your father, don't look at your mother, don't look at your husband, don't look at your wife. Looking unto Jesus, the author, in other words, he started this faith walk, and the finisher, he'll bring it to its proper conclusion. So keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. In other words, put no confidence in the flesh, because man will let you down. You say, well, you know, brother so-and-so, he's so nice. He's so faithful, but guess what? Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so is going to let you down. Your parents' children are going to let you down. But watch this now. For Jesus will never let you down. Instead of trying to answer every question from man, we need to look to God. Huh? When your children, parents, when your children come and ask you, what shall I do? Check, have you spoken to the Lord about that? Point them to the Lord. Because guess what? I'm not always going to be here, baby. David's not always going to be here, but Jesus is always going to be there. How do we know that? Because the Bible says in Hebrews 13 and verse number 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus was faithful in the past, he's faithful in the present, and he'll be faithful in the future, but you and I are not. And so, we get disappointed, don't we? When people let us down, well, I expected. Huh? You had some expectations before you got married, amen. You thought that life was going to be better when you became a Christian. And then when people let us down, guess what happens? Our faith wavers. Because we put our confidence in people and things that are going to let us down. Because guess what? It's all about faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, not faith in me. Don't put your faith in the church, because the church, I'm talking about the people now, we're going to let each other down. That's life. But Jesus will never let us down. You know, that gave me so much confidence when I realized, listen, there's nothing that you and I can do to stop Jesus from loving us. Did you know that? But you know what our problem is? We waver because sometimes we put our confidence in the wrong place. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible also says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7, so then we walk by faith, not by sight. If you can see it, that's probably not faith. If you can see it, that's probably not faith. You know what we say? I hope my paycheck comes. I hope so-and-so comes and picks me up tomorrow. I hope. That is not faith. That's why when we say, if we're going to do something, when we make a promise, we say, Lord willing. Amen. Because the Lord will not let us down. I'm trying to help somebody. Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, what is your mountain? Your mountain may be financial. Your mountain may be emotional. Your mountain may be in the recesses of your mind. If you say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it says, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Matthew 11, verse number 20. I can't tell you the number of times that I've been disappointed in my life. Never had a father. Mother was abusive, never really had a support system. Nobody told me when I was growing up that I love you. Nobody did that for me. And I had to learn that when I became a Christian at the age of 20. So listen, some of you have mothers and fathers in here. I can't wait to get out of this house. I can't wait to get on my own. Listen. The thing that you don't want, folk that don't have it, want it. And those that have it don't want it. Huh? You better be careful. Amen. But listen, You will say to this mountain, be moved, and nothing will be impossible for you. How much faith do you need? Mustard seed. Sometimes we're thinking that God wants something big and grand from us. The mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds in nature. If you give God a little and step out in faith, God can bless it and do great things. We serve a great God. Nothing is impossible for him. Listen, if you doubt, don't pray. If you do not pray with your fingers crossed. Because listen, if God doesn't deal with it. Lord, if you can get me out of this trouble, I'm going to be more faithful. Listen, instead of asking God to get you out of trouble, ask God to get the trouble out of you. Let me try on this side over here. Instead of asking God to get you out of trouble, ask God to get the trouble out of you. That's a different prayer. Because, Lord, I brought myself in this mess, and I'm asking you to help me to keep walking by faith and not by sight. Because sight always gets me messed up. You're picking the wrong people. You're hanging off with the wrong folks. You're having the wrong conversation because you're walking by sight instead of by faith. And so, how do you activate your faith? James chapter 2. I'm trying to help somebody. James chapter 2 and verse number 14. Are you there? James 2:14, the Bible says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have work? Can faith save him? A better translation of that is, can that faith save him? He says, if a brother or sister is naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for what, for the body, what does it profit? You haven't done anything. I've got faith and someone has a need. What have you done? He says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Let me help you out with that. Imagine now, you have a car, it's parked out in the yard, and it has a battery in it. But the battery is dead. Can that battery profit anything? It's in the right place. It's connected to the right things. But it's not doing anything. That's not faith. Faith without works is dead. And it says, but someone says in verse 18, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith. How? By my works. You believe there is one God, you do well, even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified, how? By works, when he offered Isaac his son on the altar. God tested his faith, but listen, in order for God to test Abraham's faith, he had to do something. In order for God to test your faith, you've got to do something. And don't you know this? I still the words echo in my mind. Sister Grace Simmons, God rest her soul. She said, Brother Smith, God works when we work. God works when we work. If you're praying for a job, guess what you've got to do? You've got to go out and look for the job. Yeah. Amen. Lord, send me. Lord, do this for me. He said, listen, I'm waiting on you. Because we know with God, all things are possible. But he's waiting on us. And you don't have to have a lot of faith. You don't have to have a lot of faith. Amen. And he says, listen now. He says in verse number 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Do you not see that faith was working through with together with his works, and by works his faith was made perfect? This word perfect does not mean sinless, it means complete. It means complete. So God was waiting on Abraham, and when he activated that faith, it was made complete. And the scriptures, verse 23, was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, when did he believe it? When he got a word from God. And it was accounted, some translations say, reckoned to him for righteousness. Now that word accounted is an accounting term. In other words, Abraham activated his faith and God gave him credit for the effort. Amen. God is not expecting perfection from us. He wants us at least to try. Lord, I'm not much today, but I'm asking you to walk with me. If I can take a step today closer towards you than I did yesterday, Lord, he will give you credit for the effort. Amen. And so he says, and he was called the friend of God. So he says in verse number 24, you see then that a man is not justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so then faith without works is dead. So we activate our faith, church, when we work for God. When we work for God. We are not saved by our works. James is saying we are saved. We work because we have been saved. That's how we show our gratitude towards God. And so we've already read 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith, and that walk is a lifestyle and not by sight. Finally, consider the examples. You'll read that at home, Hebrews 11, 32 through 40. And watch this now. In the book of Luke, chapter 22. Oh, I get excited when I read the Bible. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 34. Luke chapter 22. Watch this now. Beginning in verse number 31. You remember on the night of Jesus' betrayal, Jesus had a conversation with Peter, and watch what Jesus said to Peter. Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, he called him by his old name. Amen. Because the flesh was still at work. Yes. Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But look at verse number 32. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Peter gave himself over to the flesh. And Satan desired to sift Peter like wheat. But Jesus said, I have prayed for you. What did he pray for? Not that he would be taken out of the trial, but he said that your faith would not fail. God is praying that your faith doesn't fail. We're asking God as a congregation, as individuals, to help us and bless us with more. He's praying, guess what? That your faith does not fail you. And you say, listen now, he says, but and when you have returned to me, guess what you're to do? Go and strengthen the brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to that. Peter was like us. The Lord's trying to warn us. And no, Lord, I've got your back, Lord. No, you don't, Peter. You don't know what's going on here. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow that day before you will deny me three times that you know. Well, you better be careful what you're promising. Amen. He wanted that faith. So James chapter 2, we activate our faith. And listen, I'm going to wrap it up. Listen, as Christians, I want to leave you with this. We all need to be frogs. A frog. Huh? I want you to be a frog this week. Huh? What does frog stand for? Frog means fully rely on God. Fully rely on God. I don't care what goes on in your life, Lord. Somebody's disappointed me. I've disappointed you. Something has happened, Lord, but I'm going to put my confidence not in myself and my own effort. I'm going to lay aside the sin that so easily ensnares. And Lord, I want you to help me to activate my faith this week. Someone once said, and you've heard me say it before, don't pray for the loaf, pray for the whole bakery. Amen. Because God has so much more for us. But he's waiting on us to do something. If you're here this morning, I want you to be reminded of the scripture in Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good. For those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, all things are the good things and the bad things. God can take that situation and circumstance and use it for his good. But you got to be willing to step out on faith and come a little bit closer. And just like Peter, you remember Peter was in that boat and the Lord told him to come. And, Peter stepped out of that boat and then Peter started to sink. Why did Peter start to sink? Because he took his eyes and said, Lord, don't focus on me. Focus on Jesus. Lord, I'm trying to be a better husband this week. I'm trying to be a better father, better wife, a better mother, a better citizen of the kingdom, but I'm asking you to walk with me. If you're here this morning, you are not a Christian. You can become a Christian. All of Christianity is all about faith. You've got to listen, hear the word of God, Romans 10:17, by faith. You've got to believe Jesus, John 3:16, by faith. You've got to listen, you've got to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, by faith. You've got to be willing to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:47 and following. Oh, by faith. And then you've got to remain faithful until death. How? By faith, Revelation 2:10. And for those of us who are Christians, listen, I want you to know that our best days are ahead of us. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but today. God wants you to start from where you are. A journey of 1,000,000 miles starts with the first footstep. Maybe I didn't know yesterday, but now you know better today. It's time to activate your faith. And trust God. Don't put your trust in man. Put your trust in God. If you need prayer this morning, we are privileged to pray with you and for you. If you need to be baptized, do it before it's eternally too late. As we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Praise to Jesus for the grace in my life.